Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. In his Christmas Eve message titled, Again, Again, Reverend David Williams tells us that the goal of our journey tonight is to tell the story of God's gift again and again, because the world needs to hear it. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
The last of our readings for tonight is again drawn from Luke's Gospel as we continue the story. I'll be reading Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. Let's continue to listen for God's word. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer, amen. There are stories we go back to, and that we like going back to over and over again. And we may not remember it when we were children, but there were stories we would want to go back to again and again and again, having read to us and read to us and read to us. You think it wouldn't work that way, we fickle human beings. You think we would be bored by seeing the same thing, or that our endless hunger for the new and the exciting would drive us to just look for the new story. But when I was a kid, I didn't care about that. I would go back to the same books over and over again. I must have read Ray Bradbury's Auras for Rocket at least 27 times on rainy days. And my delight at encountering the same stories and experiences wasn't lessened by the encounter. It was redoubled. And that was even before, you know, I'm old enough that when I was a kid and you wanted to see a movie, there was a place you went to see it. That was the theater, and that was it. And so if there was something you loved, you would see it once, and then you would beg your parents to take you again. And when that didn't work, you would have your grandparents take you. And then you would go to your other pair of grandparents and have them take you too, which is why I saw Star Wars 3 times. And then, of course, you know, time passed, and suddenly seeing things whenever we wanted became something, like we were able to do it. And so if there was something that had particular meaning, we could revisit it again and again if we wanted. We could take that great big blocky VHS tape, slot it in, you know, chunk, chunk, and listen to the little motors whir. And then Rach and I'd be rewatching Room with a View for about the 17th time. It was nice. And then you stop being the young adult and you start being the parent, and then you've got little tiny people who are very, very interested in hearing the same Dr. Seuss thing or a particular story with Grover night after night by request. And you like that, you appreciate it. And then they get into film and you find yourself hovering in the basement whenever it's a birthday party and they're watching Mystery Men again. It's a fine motion picture. Or when Scott Pilgrim versus the World comes on again, where, you know, you inappropriately hover, where you really should be somewhere else, Dad, but no, you're there, you're watching it. Because you love it, you like seeing it again. We retell stories. Sometimes to the point where it feels like we're getting too much into the retelling of stories, like this Christmas season. In the theaters, there is what they are pinky swearing is the last Star Wars movie. After which the millions of Star Wars fan will only have to pay Disney, I don't even know how much it is a month, because I'm not doing it to watch Baby Yoda. I mean, I know that's a draw, but I'm not paying that much for Baby Yoda Plus or whatever it is they're calling it. And there's this remake of, I mean, there's so many remakes out there, like the remake of Cats, which seems to have been directed by H.P. Lovecraft. And I'm tempted to see it because it seems like a good test of the resilience of your soul. You know, it's like one of those like personal endurance things. But there have been so many retellings this year. In 2019, what movies have they remade? Pitch me one. Oh, I forgot that. Oh, they did. What else did they remake? They remade Frozen, well, it's two, but yeah, they remade it. Aladdin, they remade Aladdin. They remade Lion King. Oh, they remade it. Why? I mean, it's like, I mean, it's the circle of profit. We know that. But they remade, like, Adam's Family. They remade Dumbo. A sort of a weird Tim Burton Dumbo, because last year at this time, there was nothing you were thinking more like, I wish this year they'd make a weird Tim Burton Dumbo. You know, it's just the remaking and the rebooting and the retelling, pitching us the same stories again and again to the point where we wonder why. You're almost like, stop, stop it, stop. And the reason, of course, they keep retelling it is because they just love the stories, right? It's, well, I mean, yeah, that and they love the fact that, I mean, Disney this year, of the 10 top grossing films, how many were Disney? Eight. Eight is right. Eight is correct, which is a little alarming, meaning that's half of total theater take, which means we have a nice multinational conglomerate that's telling us all of our stories, and that would be alarming if I actually went to see any of them. But, you know, I don't, partially because I'm pathologically unwilling to part with my money, and there's something else. And I think when we get into a retelling of a story, when a story is meant to have a deeper meaning, we're meant to revisit it with joy, that ritual retelling of story doesn't play well with profit, because you can't commodify a story that has meaning without undercutting it a little. You know, if you're telling a story to pad a corporate bottom line, or in the case of Cats, to have a big write-off at the end of the year, then, you know, our ritual retellings get a little messy. They get strange, and it starts feeling off. But there are other stories, stories that aren't bought, stories we can return to with fondness, stories we can encounter again and again with a child's delight as they stir our memories and call us back to ourselves. Their old family tales, their remembrances of years past, their songs that we sing together, those rituals that give us a sense of place and connection. Those things, those rituals, give joy and deeper meaning to life. That's what rituals do. It was actually a study done by Harvard psychologists a couple years back, where they surveyed people about how their holidays were, what made a season that should be sacred feel like it gave joy and meaning and purpose. And what they found is that seasons were given meaning when human beings shared a familiar tradition or experience or ritual together. And the more things you did that were familiar and shared and part of your story of life together, the more grounded people felt. And it's Harvard, so you know, it must be true. But we feel that truth of how repeating certain tales together and sharing in certain experiences binds us up as one. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here on Christmas Eve, encountering these familiar stories and songs again together. And it is the same old story. It's Mary, it's the child, it's the shepherds keeping watch by night. But in each retelling, it is refreshed and made new in us. It's not a remake, it's not a reboot, it's the same story. Told to call once again that story into our lives together. Bless you. As we hear Luke's recounting of this story again, the essence of it stays the same through the years. Every time we hear it, we hear of this young family journeying towards an uncertain future in Bethlehem. We hear of a humble birth in the lowliest of circumstances. We hear of shepherds in the hills, the poorest of the poor out there, suddenly given as a gift, a vision and message of the promise of a new life. When we retell and we sing this story together, we reinforce that memory in us. We claim that story for right now. We need those familiar, hopeful retellings. Not just things that we are watching, but a story we speak together because it binds us together. It connects us with those around us, and it feeds our hunger for the hope that this story gives us. This story affirms every time we tell it that we are a part of it. We remember as we tell it our desire to set aside our anxious fearfulness about our future. We remember to embrace that message of hope shared with all. This retelling centers around the good news of the promise of a Christ child born to bring peace and restoration to a people, a story of reconciliation and renewal, a story we all need to hear, one that we can hold on to in our hearts and think over as Mary pondered it, hearing those words echoing over and over again in her soul. As we listen to this story today, we hear it told because it's something our God wants us to tell together. God, for whom all things are new, tells us this story year by year with the same delights that a child has, sharing something wonderful with a loved one. Tell this again, God says. And we say, really, again? And God says, yes, tell it again. It's always joyous whenever we hear it. In this joyous, hopeful, familiar retelling, take that joyous newness, even in encountering the same thing again. Take it with new eyes. And with those new eyes, may you see a joyous and merry Christmas tomorrow. And whatever stories you have to tell with one another, may they be both familiar and new, and part of God's blessing for us all. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
On the back of your bulletin there is one more song, Joy to the World. And we will sing that song together after we have moved from this space, after we've gathered in a circle in the front of this little sanctuary. Because the goal of this evening, the goal of this journey we are on, this journey we celebrate with the birth of the Christ child, is that we should tell that story of joy out in the world all the time. Both in the warmth of this space and in the time of family and friendship tomorrow, but also all of our lives, to tell that story again and again, because the world needs to hear it. So let's now go out into the world and sing joy, both tonight and our whole lives long. So now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us today and tomorrow and our whole lives long. Amen. Amen.